We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today.
With you, well, if you've gone sour, you want the world plus everything, but it won't work an hour. And now your questions are guilt creeping, and you're going by our flowers. You throw away the dreams we had, boy. I want to allow it. I said we're gonna fall out. Let you get out.
Good evening. Welcome to NUFC Matters, the professional Sunday evening as Erling Haaland gives Manchester City a 2-0 lead over Nottingham Forest. Keep an eye on that scoreline. But it's welcome to Mitch and to Stu, who is supping on a red wine, Stu.
I deserve it. Long day today. Up since 4 o'clock, which is 2 o'clock your time.
Good stuff. All right, welcome along, lads. 5-1 win yesterday against Sheffield United, relegated them. And I've got to be honest, just want to say, you know, big thanks to all of the Sheffield United fans who met yesterday. A lot of people who you know, just came up and wanted to speak, and some who watched the podcast, which is always amazing to bump into fans from other clubs who say they enjoy watching the podcast, even though that don't support our team. So big shout out to them, those who do tune in. And it was very similar to Burnley, I felt, when I was down at Burnley a couple of seasons ago and saw Burnley relegated. No animosity, accepted the fact that they were down. And, you know, I've got to be honest, I was a bit nervous going into the game because of our form against lower league teams, if you like. And the first half, Mitch, looked as if my worries were going to be You know, justified, because we could have been 3-1 down.
Quite easily. I mean, the first 15 minutes in particular, we just looked all at sea. Quite unusual again for us. A continuation of the lack of form from the Palace game, really. I don't know how much of that was continued hangover from that. I don't know how fit Shaw was when he took to the pitch, but he certainly, by the time they had their very clear second chance that they should have finished, he looked like he was struggling to even run, let alone, you know, move about the pitch. And I think we're in danger of falling apart at home again, like we did against Forest on Boxing Day. But thankfully we didn't. Really, you know, chalk and cheese from first to second half. And they had all the hallmarks of a team who we used to getting beat, used to getting themselves into a situation where the minute we went 1-1, they were a little more tentative. And then when they didn't take that chance early in the second half, we punished them, and that was it. Once we got ahead, they were never coming back. Once we went 2-1 up, you can see they really didn't have it in them to raise their game to that level. But that's what teams like that are like. I guess they had one chance to fight for, just to keep their skin in the game for a little bit longer. And then once that had gone, they were really gone. And we it was good to see we're actually putting them to the sword in the end a little bit.
Is the big budgie smuggler on tonight?
No, everything's quite happily contained today.
You're good, all confused. Oh my, says Muzza. Yeah, 5-1 win, Stu, was all smiles at the end. Muzza just made the point, football's played over 90 minutes, but yeah, it was still a bit unnerving. You know, Sheffield United did what they did at Old Trafford a couple of nights before, where, you know, they went for it in the first half, but they ran out of juice.
Yeah, as Mitch said there, it is a game of two halves, and thankfully it is. Because the first half seemed to be like a hangover from the Crystal Palace game, where for probably the second game in a row, going through the first half, you could question the attitude of the players, as if they just turned up thinking, these are bottom, we're going to win this. And you know, you've got to win your little battles first before you win the war, and they just expect that they just turn up. And it was a free hit for Sheffield United. They had nothing to lose and everything again, because they were going down. It was just a case of when. And what really frustrated me in the first half, I text Mitch at half time, and I says, we didn't win any second balls in the whole first half. And I says, that's inexcusable. You know, so if you're not on form and you're not playing well, you should never question people's attitude and desire. But saying that, I had a little glimpse on the old social media just to cheer myself up. And it was, everyone was slagging off Sean Longstaff, and it's becoming tiresome. Now, bear in mind, we've got no Joe Linton, there's no Miley, there's no Tenali, there's no Willock. He's only one of three players remaining in that position in midfield. And we know he's not fully fit. We know he's playing through injury. He's trying his best. We know that where we're going to, he's not going to be good enough to get in the team. He knows that. But we've got four games left. Get off the lad's back and get behind him. You never know. Look what happened to Dan Boomen. He got, he was getting pelters, and all of a sudden people let him go for a bit, and then he's come good. And if it wasn't for Dan Boomen, we could have been three down at half-time yesterday. But thankfully, the class showed in the second half, and the push for the top six or the sixth position continues. And it's in our hands. If we win all our games, we finish sixth. Possibly even fifth, you never know. But it's up to us where we finish now. I love it when everyone says we've never had a better chance to finish above Man United in the Premier League. What, since last season? It was only the last two or three games that they went above us. So, but what it does show, it shows that the gap has closed. And you would never have thought that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that we would be on a par. And the trajectory that the two clubs are going, I know which team I'd rather be following, because they need a huge overhaul. And we just need a few astute tweaks. And I really think we'll be in the Champions League places next season. So started the game poorly. They finished it with aplomb, I suppose. And what isn't or hasn't been talked about enough was Barnes' little dink through for Wilson. He was surrounded by players, and to have the nose to just chip it through, and he did. And it was a great finish by Wilson as well. So it does make a difference when you've got quality coming off the bench, and that's something that we've been short of all season. And one thing else I want to say is, look, if Shaw is injured, he's played every game this season. If he is injured, that means we're likely to have a back four of Livramento, Kraft, Byrne and Hall. That was our reserves back four. That wouldn't have been, because none of them were in the back four. And Dubravka, none of them were in the defence last season when we went like all those games without conceding goals. So it shows that whether they've got the quality or not, they've definitely got the unity. And we just need to get behind them as much as they can. And wherever they finish, whether it's fifth, sixth, seventh or eighth, it's been one hell of a ride. And against, stealing Phil Collins' words here, but against all odds, we're still with a shout with the four games to go. And it's just one big push. We can do it. We need to win two of our away games, I would say, and the home game. As long as one of the away games is Man United, then we'll be at least sixth. That's my opinion and predictions.
Okay, a couple of comments. Martin says, the problem first half, lads, was the gap between our defence and midfield created space for them to exploit with a simple forward pass. Longstaff was out of position a few times and it left Bruno isolated. And the other comment on yesterday's game from Graham, With so many missing across the season, the element of surprise and the ability to mix it up has enabled others to predict where our strengths are going to be. And, I've got to agree. It's horses for courses. It showed with Crystal Palace. Eddie thought that you could go with the same team against Tottenham. For whatever reason, he felt that was the right way to go. It wasn't. We came away with a defeat, we went in yesterday, but changes have to happen. We don't know what the situation was with Fabian Shea. He was clearly out of sorts. Something wasn't right. As Stu's mentioned, Sean Longstaff was, and has been playing with injections. And, we are still struggling with injuries. We don't know fully what is going on behind the scenes because Eddie Howe doesn't give us a great deal of, doesn't give us a great deal of information at all. And I get it. He doesn't want to give the opposition any information either. But it can leave us all a bit frustrated at times. But I guess we just got to trust the process, trust what he says and trust what he does. Chippers says, I do think Byrne is in his correct position now, which is why he's improved. Longstaff is in his and doing now, which I think is harsh on Longstaff, but I want to concentrate on his first point about Dan Byrne. I would say he probably is in his correct position. I think I was speaking to somebody today and we both agreed that, Byrne's got another couple of years in that position, I think, And if he hasn't, he's certainly got a couple of years more in the squad as cover for that position and potentially left back if needed. But I think Dan Byrne could be with us for another couple of years now. Mitch?
Well, I thought he was absolutely magnificent in that first half. If it wasn't for him, it would have been 3-0.
Yep.
By the time we went, he didn't just make covering tackles. He made blocks from the back of the Bravka. He genuinely was the sort of the thin red line, the last line of defence at one point on more than one occasion. And he has looked far better in that central role. Far better. And so, yes, in terms of being in and around the squad, I don't see why not. Because he brings other elements into that dressing room. Leadership, understanding of the club. You look the way he connects with the fans, what he did with the sign language when the deaf kids were with the Hapnik shirts were in. And you look at the reaction of those young'uns when they realise what he's just done is he's just done love the fans and sign language. And those Burns will never forget that. Never. And that's the kind of positive thing. You cannot deny that having him in and around the squad brings along. It's not just about on the pitch. There's a much bigger side to that when you're building the squad. And yes, he's made the odd rick on occasion this season, but yesterday I thought he was absolutely magnificent.
Yeah. Dan Byrne in his correct position, Stu?
Definitely. He was immense yesterday, and it was probably his best game he's had. And he's since he's moved back into that left-sided centre-half role, we've seen his quality, but he's improved immeasurably. But bear in mind, he did come from a low base these last few games at left-back. But he's took it in his very huge stride. And the fact that he's got the captain's armband. Imagine he's living the dream, isn't he? He's playing for his local club in the Premier League, in with a shout for Europe, captaining them. And he's definitely a squad member. Now, we're all seeing how wonderful he's playing, but Botman at his best is far better than Dan Byrne. But now you wouldn't worry once Botman is fit and hopefully back to his best, you wouldn't worry if he was rested or rotated and Dan Byrne was to come in. Same as Lascelles, when he was taken out of Fireland. Look how well he's played at the moment he's injured, but since he's came in the last 18 months, Lascelles has hardly put a foot wrong. But they're not regular starters, or they shouldn't be regular starters if we're going to be serious about qualifying for the Champions League and then going further in the Cups. But as cover, and give them a run of 3 or 4 games when necessary, not a problem at all. So definitely keep Dan Byrne in the squad. He's one of the ones that, for me, he should be fireproof. Not just what he's done on the pitch, but what he does off the pitch, what he does in the changing room. He helps the new signings come in. He integrates them into the squad. He makes sure they're aware what it means to play for Newcastle United. But most importantly, he is a very, very capable footballer. and we're going to need him over the next few games because he is going to be leading that defence. Because if you're looking at the ones in the other positions, Premier League experience-wise, this season, there isn't that much there. You know what I mean? So he's going to have a huge role to play for us in the last four games, and he's more than capable of doing it.
War Flags surpassed themselves again yesterday with their display. Brilliant is probably the best way to describe it. Ties in nicely with the point that the lads are making in the chat and the lasses. Do you think that Isaac and Bruno will be Newcastle United players? And also, do you think Newcastle can qualify the Europa League or the Europa Conference League? John is asking the question. Look, I genuinely think yesterday, you know, it's nice to be able to pay respect to, you know, to Bruno in particular and Joe Linton. And I think the goals and the celebration and everything, it tells you what you need to. I think the social media posts we've seen from him have been great. The interviews he's done, Mitch, as well, in recent weeks or recent months even, I think it tells you where his head's at. He's happy. He doesn't want to leave. We'll separate them. We'll go to Isaac in a second. But Bruno, first and foremost, you know, he's not going anywhere. I genuinely can't see him leaving. It's up to him and it's up to his agent. And I don't think Newcastle will dare upset the wrath of Newcastle United fans or take the wrath of Newcastle fans by even thinking about selling him.
I think it would take something extraordinary for them to do it. And I think that's what the whole release clause gambit and the timing of it is all about. It's about saying to certain clubs, because there's only a handful of clubs could spend the kind of money to buy Bruno. And what we're doing is saying, let's see the way to your eyes. How serious are you? And then you come to Bruno himself. His actions in the last few weeks are not the actions of somebody who wants to leave Newcastle United. It's as simple as that. He has no control over somebody coming along and slapping a ridiculous bid in, even after the release clause is gone. So what he's doing is ignoring that noise because he wants to stay. So therefore, that's making it very clear. That was the best celebration of the corner flag since Tino Aspilä.
Yeah, yesterday. I wonder whether he's researched that, you know. I wonder whether he researched it.
Nout with this lot would surprise me. Mm-hmm. Mate. Nout with this lot would surprise me. And bottom line, that's not somebody who intends to go anywhere.
No.
Do I think he will go anywhere? No. Because I genuinely don't think of the teams that could pay that kind of money, they've got the wiggle room on their FFPs and wage bills to come along and do it the way we have said, this is how we want it done. Simple as that.
Thoughts on the Bruno display and his reaction then, Stu? I mean, it was special.
There's two camps, Steve. There's the emotional side and then you've got the accountancy side. So for me, emotionally, we know he's bought a house. And not for a couple of quid, you know what I mean? It's 4 million quid. He's spent a lot of money on a house. Why would you do that if you're going to go? But there's so much more behind the scenes. Joe Elton signed a new contract. The best buddies here. And you can't underestimate the pull the crowd have with his dad. Something like that. He's a happy person, isn't he? Everywhere his dad goes, he doesn't need to buy a pint. So he's loving it. He's happy. He's worshipped on Tyneside and beyond. And if he went to a Man City, he would just be another superstar within that squad. And he wouldn't really be guaranteed a regular place because they're not going to chop Rodri for him. And maybe De Bruyne has got another year, but Foden seems to be taking that position as and when he's the heir in waiting, isn't he? So he's got to look, am I going to get regular players, games? Yes, it's nice to win things, but if you're playing and winning, that's different. If you're part of a squad and winning, it makes a big difference. But you see how passionate he is. He's always kissing the badge. He loves Newcastle, and we've got him for at least one more year. So all these questions, like Isaac or Bruno, which one we sell, the answer's simple, none of them. Where we've got two genuine world-class players. We've got another one potentially with Anthony Gordon, and that worries me more. Could he get sold in the summer? I mean, we've seen his interview last week with Gary Neville. His focus, his drive, his determination, his ambition is off the scale, and he wants to go to the very top. Now, Man City aren't that strong on the left. Grealish is, to me, I think he's finished. And when he has got the ball, he just plods about and he's a one-trick pony, cuts inside all the time, falls over, does his hair. And then you've got the ASM replacement with Doku. That's their weakness, to me, the left side. So I'm not suggesting that Anthony Gordon's going to Man City, but out of all our players, I think he'd be the one that they'd want first to suit the team that they've got currently. And I think Gordon, I think all of them, all the top players, they know that where we're going. They're in this together. They'll make sure we get Europe. Then they'll have one big heave next season. And hopefully that'll get us to a European final, because we won't be in the Champions League, but we can qualify for the Champions League. Then it's a decision. Do we want to go? But how could you? Then we'll take the accountancy side. Yes, we'll sell Bruno. We'll take 100 million from if somebody pays it. This is all hypothetical. I'm definitely wanting him to stay, and I fully expect him to stay at least for one more year. But let's just say they took 100 million. So then you get, taking into consideration wages, it would free up about 400 million to spend on the financial fair play. So we'd have to go out and buy top quality, who all know we've got a shedload of money to spend, which then puts the prices up. But then what sort of player worth his salt would think, hang on, they've just sold their best player, why would I want to go there? You know, so we've got a nucleus of a team. We've repeatedly said this. You know, when everyone's fit, we've got a Botman, we've got Bruno, Isak, Gordon, Joe Linton, Livramento, I think, is going to be a superstar. If he isn't already, I think he certainly will be next season. There's a nucleus of a very, very talented 11 there that can be added. And you start looking around, who knows how Liverpool react. Arsenal, they might just burn away after two near misses in the last two seasons. Manchester United, we've already covered. Tottenham, we know we've got their number. There's no reason why we can't have a really good sustained challenge for the title next season with the right signings. And when you've got these quality players in there, we know that we're going to have money to spend. We know there's more sponsorships coming. We know we've got the seller money. We know we've got the Champions League money. There's going to be the Sky money. There's so much money we can go out and think, do you know what? At some stage, we're going to have to go hell for leather. And I think this window will be the one where they'll take, not a big risk, but they'll take a risk that's worth taking, where it might stymie them going forward. But instead of just doing it gradually, we're in a position now where others are faltering. We can just grab the nettle here and say, right, we're going for it. And I don't see why we can't. And Bruno leaving, I think if you just look at him, look at his passion, look at his face yesterday when he scored, he doesn't want to go anywhere. And if his agent tells him he has to, I think you'll probably find that he won't be his agent for much longer. He's settled on, say his kids are born here, he wants to stay here. And it would take something, as Mitch said there, something absolutely crazy for it to be considered. You don't sell your crown jewels when you're trying to create something, and he's staying. And Isak, I know they're going to change his contract. They should be offering more money time on the longer term. And the same with Gordon, because they seem to be getting all the bigger players in on longer contracts now. And it'll show them what they mean to us and show them how committed we are. And as I said at the start of the show, a few astute additions, and we're in a position where we will be a force for years to come. And Bruno needs to be part of it. Imagine him watching us from afar win a trophy. He'd be gutted.
Talk about Isak in a minute. Just want to ask your thoughts on this. Sutty says, have you got any further update on the director of football coming in? Quite interesting, because obviously after last week's show, you know, we for the last couple of months, we've talked about various potentials coming in. It was interesting to see a few newspapers running with a few of the suggestions which were mentioned on this show, and have been mentioned on the show since the whole Dan Ashworth story came off. Any further forward on this, do you think? Any other news on this that you lads have got?
Nothing concrete from me. I've not heard any updates on the names that we're aware of, or that anything further has been taken as yet.
Well, I had a discussion with someone who is aware of what has been happening, and I shared it with Mitch earlier in the week. And I think they've been looking for Dan Ashworth's replacement long before he has to leave. I think since the rumours that Sir Jim Ratcliffe was getting into Man United and his pal was getting there, Zabrilsworth, when he was getting there, it was quite clear that the links were there. And as I understand it, Dan Ashworth was asked by the club, what's the story? And he says, no, I'm not going, I'm not interested, I'm here. This, I think, caused a bit of a rift in the summer transfer window with him and Eddie Howe. And then when he did put his resignation in, he was asked, but you said to us, and he went, that's football, that's life. That's rumoured, that's what I've been told. I can't say for certain that's exactly what was said, but that's the information that was passed, that he was very blasé, stroke arrogant about it. And knowing how very wealthy Saudi people do business, as I do, that would get them to the point where they said, you know what is, in spite of the fact that the money's, his wages, they would let him sit in his garden and run the contract out. So all this talk through the press that they're offering to, I think Mitch mentioned it on Friday, they're offering to, we're looking at like 15, they're lowballing on purpose to hopefully some mediator comes and says 7. It doesn't, or 8. It doesn't matter what any mediator says. He's our employee, and we'll release him when we want on a contract that he signed. So for Man United, let them play the games in the press. They're not covering themselves in any glory at all. They've been very disrespectful, not just to us, but to other teams. And then they start crying when they don't get their own way. Good. Let them keep crying.
Is it true that we, you know, we can't employ a new director of football? And is that true? No.
No, not at all. You can have, why can't you? You can have 3 goalkeepers. Why can't you have 3 directors of football? Mm-hmm. You know, if they want to change it, they could say a sporting director, or, you know, and cover like a lot bigger aspect, or even just football recruitment. They can give a title to change the title and do the same job. There's easy ways around that. But this is just the Northwest and probably the London-based press trying to put pressure on Newcastle and trying to get the public opinion for the tide to turn against Newcastle. We are 100% on our rights, and if they do try to go down legally, they'll find that, and they must have more money than sense if they think they're going to challenge something that he signed, knowing what was in it. So they thought they could just ride roughshod over little old Newcastle. Sorry, we're a different beast now. And this piece has just bit them back. So they're either going to have to come and pat our head and say, here's what you want, I'm really sorry about that. Or Mr. Ashworth's going to sit with his gnomes in the garden, and he'll have to talk about that for the next 18 months, because that's how it's going to be, unless they dump up the cash.
Yeah, Mitch, it's going to be interesting, this compensation package that we get off the mind. I mean, arbitration, I'm not sure how it all works. I mean, you know, I guess they listen to both sides of the story, and then you know, they come up with a suitable figure. I don't know what a suitable figure would be. I mean, I don't know whether there's been many of these cases gone to arbitration.
There's probably not. And like many situations, you can guarantee at the end of it, either side probably won't be happy, but both sides will claim victory. But there's one thing for sure. This is about an individual who signed a contract which was front-loaded because of the history he has of jumping ship, and because the risk of being moved on because of that history. And he did it knowing fine well what he was getting himself into. And I think genuinely there are questions about his behaviour and the way he's gone on, and his own personal ethics. And I think ultimately we're better off without him. And the more I learn, the more angry I get about it, the more I want him to rot. But at the same time, I'm at the point where I'd be quite happy to have Newcastle United move on from it, but on our terms, on more of our terms. And I think even any arbitration is going to delay things long enough. So there's no way he's going to be in place at Man United by the time that Man United want him to be. And that's probably more important to us than any amount of compensation.
Just to clarify one thing, Steve.
Go for
we
it.
We don't have to go to arbitration. He's our employee.
It's no, but the Premier League rules are, if there's a dispute like this, it does have to go to arbitration.
Why don't we just say we'll sign one of their players and offer $1 million when they think he's worth 50, we'll go to arbitration. And it's he's contracted. So they're trying everything they can to discredit what we're doing. And what we're doing is legally correct and morally correct, and what they're doing isn't. And the fact is, they've courted him, which was illegal. They've approached him when they shouldn't have, because they should have approached us, as we did to Brighton when we wanted their director of football. We asked for permission to speak with him, and then we agreed to their terms. We had him on garden leave for 9 months, and we paid a fee. Those are the rules. I don't understand what they don't understand about that, and why they're crying, because they're not getting their own way. So if the contract states, this could open up, this could be a Bosman ruling sort of exclusive. If they get it, if Man United get this for a ridiculously low price, if it did go to arbitration and that was ruled, then what's the point in having contracts?
Mm. Okay, interesting. So you also wanted to mention a point we were talking about on the Amigos on Friday, Stu. Before I forget, what was that again?
Oh yeah, when we're talking about FFP, PSR, and different suggestions, and Mr. Hasty suggested that my thought of an escrow account was a good idea. Now, what was said about that was, sorry, what I said about it, and I don't think this was carried on to the show on Friday, what I said about it was, whether it's an escrow account, whether it's a bond, whether it's a trust or whatever, is the idea of financial fair play is to stop clubs going bust. So I wasn't saying have a limitless escrow account where PIF could pour 5 or 10 billion in it and would just blow everyone out of the water. It should be related to the cost of running the club. So if the wages, etc., let's say Newcastle are spending 250 million a year, they would have to, if they wanted to go over the limits of financial fair play or whatever rules FPS are, or whichever anchoring, whichever way they're going to call it, whichever way it comes out, then they would have to put a bond in on the basis it was 250 million a year it cost to run the club. It covers everyone's salaries, et cetera, et cetera. They would have to put 1, maybe 2 years worth of that in to a trust. So if something did happen Chelsea-esque, then the people's jobs, the salaries are all secure. And they would only ever get that money back if and when they sold the club and all the money was transferred. And then we'll get the money back. It was just wanting to clear that up because, of course, we've got, our owners have immeasurable wealth compared to every other owner in the Premier League. So that wouldn't make it fair. We can't sit here about things not being fair and then try to make it unfair for us in our favour. So if, for example, these billionaires that are running Manchester United, who seem to be the flavour of the month, because the Glazers are loving this because they're just taking the money and they're getting none of the grief now. So if they wanted to go over their limits, they would have to put 2 or 1 year's worth of their salaries, et cetera, into this escrow. And then it becomes fairer. And for me, the reason I said that is it wasn't just from a Newcastle stance. You've got things like that, what's happening in Nottingham Forest with their owner. He's obviously keen to develop the club and make it better. And he's limited. Now, you've got Leicester coming up. They're going to get dog points as soon as they come up. And then because they're in the Championship, they're not able to spend as much money as everyone else who's already in the Premier League. And it becomes where it's not fair. And what we need to do is, as quick as we can, if possible, get back to where we are supporting our teams and we know everything about the player and the positions and everything else. We're not talking about money. We're not talking about rules and getting points docked, because football is a sport and sport should be fun, you know, and we should be enjoying it. Now, as you know, I deal with figures a lot, so something like this is of interest to us, but I'd much rather be talking about Isak getting his hat-trick at last, which hopefully he will next week, you know, than what's happening with will the Premier League, will we get 14 votes, will there be only 6? But it's quite funny when you find some of the favoured six are now saying it's anti-competitive, this anchoring that's been suggested, because it works against them. It took me up. I just want to clarify that when I was mentioning escrow account, whichever way you dress it up, what I was talking about was something to be held where they couldn't get access to protect the club that they are owning, because our board told us straight away that they're just custodians, it's not their club. So to ensure that the club goes on if they decide to sell up, or if they get bored of the toy, as some owners might do in the future, then the club will go on for at least 1 or 2 years until a suitable owner is found, and then they forfeit that escrow or the bond, unless they find a seller, and then they get the bond back straight away. It's probably a lot more simple than I've explained it there, but I just wanted to clear that up. I wasn't saying putting billions, because it's not fair to do that either.
Okay, I'm confused, says John. He says, do we need to sell to avoid FFP bother? Are we close to the limits? Do you lads know? Some media gone on as if it's the case, but are they efficient? And Mitch, I've said this before many times when we get asked this question. I don't think anybody can really say. No. You know, the club's accountants and the Premier League's, you know, the Premier League will know when the books are put forward. But, you know, does the journalist at a national tabloid newspaper know? Unless he's very good at accounts and has everything in front of him, I just don't see how anyone does.
Trying to hit moving targets as well. Because we don't know, you know, how certain changes affect how the current rules would be applied in a short-term view with the run-up to changes at a certain point. I don't think anybody really knows. I certainly have never been of the opinion that we were in real bother, that we had to do something. I think with everything that's gone on recently, in a run-up to some sort of change in the sustainability rules, that current legislation might be sort of relaxed a little bit, because the Premier League know they've dug themselves a hell of a hole with the way they've gone on. And the Forest situation and the Everton situation, I don't think the Premier League have come out smelling of roses from that at all. They were desperate to make the Everton one go away. And so I think nobody really knows. And so I'm reasonably relaxed about it. Because I tell you what, if we're close, there's going to be half the Premier League or more. So, and again, that should calm everybody down about what's going to happen in terms of ins and outs. Because to put into perspective, we're talking with Bruno and Isaac, two players of over £50 million. And in the entirety of world football, there's only 17 clubs have ever bought a player for more than £50 million. 17. And of those clubs, many of them are not in the position to spend £50 million right now. And if anybody wants to know who those clubs are, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich, PSG, Inter, Juventus, Napoli, Al-Hilal and Al-Nassr in Saudi, and then Man City, Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs, and little old Newcastle United.
Yeah, this FFP, I mean, Ben Jacobs did mention it. Somebody just asked us in the chat there. He did mention, he said, we're like 40 or 50 million. Again, you know, he hasn't plucked figures out of the sky. I've seen that quoted by numerous journalists, but it's one of those things, Stu. You know, people will suggest that that's what we need to do. People are saying that that's, you know, that Newcastle need this money from the Dan Ashworth situation. And it just makes good copy. It makes good stories.
If I can jump back in there. And yeah, Ben's contact, he'll be getting that information from, will be from a Qatari perspective, who will be desperate for PSG to get them off us.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Yeah, Stu. I mean, it's an interesting concept, FFP and PSR. It's hampered us, but I don't understand, and I certainly don't think Newcastle United have got to sell to buy this summer. I'm certainly in your camp. I think there'll be a vast amount of money spent, and I think there'll be lots of ins and outs, and the outs will be the ones that we need to get rid of. The ins will be players that's going to improve the team. And Eddie Howe's playing it down, saying we're going to, you know, we need to bring in youth and develop them. But we're doing that as well as bringing in a few, you know, A-listers.
If I say it's Saturday enough times, it doesn't mean it's Saturday, does it?
Exactly.
So it just takes one journalist to say it. And if you say something with confidence and conviction, it's often believed. So it just takes one journalist to say it, others pick up on it, and off it goes. You know, it grows its own arms and legs and starts running down the street, and now all of a sudden it becomes fact. I would be astounded, gobsmacked, amazed, shocked, whichever word you want to use, if we needed to sell to buy this summer. We, more than any other club, would be under more scrutiny from the Premier League. And for sure, we've played by the books. For sure, that's why we didn't spend in the summer. They were scared to go even over it. They will be in a position where sit tight, we're ahead of schedule, and we'll go again. Of course, you can't take into consideration the amount of injuries that we've had. That's just been ridiculous, and it shouldn't be repeated again. But are we 40 or 50 million needed to sell? That just adds fuel to the flames. How many players have we got that are worth over 40 or 50 million at the minute? Not Joe Linton, because he's just signed his contract. That goes back to Botman, who's injured. It goes back to Bruno, Isaac and Gordon. Maybe he's Libramento, who's just signed. So I'm trying not to go against Ben because I respect Ben, but I think his information he's got is incorrect, and he's the first to say not everything he states is right. But he is right more than he's wrong, but that doesn't mean he's right all the time. The Newcastle United, for sure, their accounts would be squeaky clean, so they wouldn't need to sell. And if they did, it would have to be before June. And even if they did, let's Wilson come back in. He needs the warm weather. He'll go off to Saudi. Miggy, if you get told twice that we're selling you, doesn't matter if you want to stay or not. You know, you've got to have a bit of pride and say, right, I'm off, and then start looking after yourself. So there's 50 million from those two, especially if Wilson keeps banging the goals in. So I can't get my head around that we need to sell anything before we start spending money. And I think that's the nicest way I can say it without getting into industrial language.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. We are halfway through the show. We're going to have a quick break. I am pushing the auction. There's only 20 minutes left. 30 minutes left of the auction. 35 items up for grabs. Andy Carroll, Nobby Solano, Steve Watson, Alan Shearer, Supermac, and Tino, Bobby Moncur. Some really nice pieces up for grabs. Pavel Cernacek and some Keegan Waddle, Beardsley stuff. And Rob Lee scoring at Wembley. Some great prints. Starting price for a lot of that, £15 to £20. So get yourself on there. It's got about 30 minutes left. Have a bid whilst you can. Don't miss out. And we'll post everything out this week, whoever the lucky winners are. But some great items to have. But we will have a quick break. Still plenty to come on NUFC Matters of Professionals. We will be back after this. Big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com. Website skipsandbins.com. Easy contract, free and pay as you go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Telephone 01768 210102 or email info@mrvickys.co.uk. Thanks to United Group Travel. There are no strangers in our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email beverly.ugtl@gmail.com. Telephone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. Thanks to Media Arts for the technical side of things. And you can also find us as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or other podcast providers. You can subscribe to the channel by hitting the subscribe button underneath this video. Hit the all notifications bell so you don't miss a show. Hit the thumb up to like the channel and click share to your social media. If you want to join the channel, then click join for as little as $1.99 a month. If you want to become a member for a one-off £25 payment, email John at nufcmatters.com or go to membership at the website nufcmatters.com. If you've got a smartphone, hold your camera over the QR code and it'll take you straight there. We also help the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk to the match day bucket and you can leave a virtual donation today. And congratulations to United Group Travel as well. They won an award. It is on the flyer. I did mean to add that to the ads, and Beverly's going to kill us for not adding it there. But at least the advert's there, which says you're an award winner. But congratulations. Well done. And thanks for your sponsorship again for the last couple of months. NUFC Matters Live End of Season Party is at the Tyneside Irish Centre. Tickets are tenner. And you can get your tickets still from nufcmatters.com and newcastlelegends.com. Got Supermac and Gibbo live on stage. You've got Ask George live on stage. And we've got an acoustic set with the Long Sands in aid of Dementia Matters. Do not miss out on that. It's going to be a cracking night. Lots of tickets already sold. And a lot of people looking forward to meeting each other, which is great. There we go. I've got the advert back up. Travel and Tourism Awards 2024 winner. United Group Travel. Well done, Beverly, and all the staff at UGTL. Brilliant work, great stuff. And it's since I got the advert right. It's since I got that phrase, that catchphrase right, which I'd said wrong for about months. I think it's pulled people in. I should get a pay rise, Bev. I should be on the accounts. Don't get us to drive the bus though.
Matters coach trip.
I just want to ask about Alexander.
We'll be like that. Tourette de France when what's his face took all his Tourettes to France on a bus.
Now, just before you ask the next question, Steve, I was checking the emails there during the ads, and I've just had a personal invitation from Newcastle United, I'm sure many other people have, to have a digital question and answer with Callum Wilson. That's I've just said he should be sorted to Saudi.
Callum Wilson and Shola Ramiobi, mate.
Yeah.
And Shola. I've just seen that come through as well. So that's great. Yeah. But then you'll have to apply and it's if you get in. I did get to the last one, which was Shea Given and Nick Pope, which was quite interesting. So I know Mozza and Allen were on that one as well. So good stuff. Yeah, Alexander Rizak. Another two goals yesterday. Mitch didn't get the hat trick again. Ice cold Isaac with that penalty. And ironically, we were talking about that on Friday night and you were talking about the way he concentrates and the little thing he does with his hand before he takes the penalty. But scored that with aplomb. But the first goal, what a finish that was. I mean, you know, I heard Alan Shearer and Ian Wright last night on Match of the Day say any youngster should just watch his movement before he scores that goal. He's a world-class striker and, you know, everybody is waking up to the fact that Newcastle have managed to pull in somebody with just under £70 million and he's a steal. He's up there with Haaland.
I think not you. You haven't just got to look at his movement either. It's his awareness of where he is on the pitch to take that shot first time, to know exactly where he is, to have an idea where the goalkeeper is, and then take that shot on the move first time, stick it in the bottom corner. And this is the beauty of Isaac. He can score all kinds of goals. Scruffy shin rollers, all the way through the 20 yarders and everything in between. And you're right about ice cold in terms of taking the penalty. You just can't see him missing. He just looks uber confident. And I think absolutely brilliant in terms of where, if you want to see a striker who can do everything, And he's right about looking at the movement. His movement is exceptional. Mm-hmm. Mind you, yesterday as well, when Callum Wilson came on, he showed some of his attributes and one of his is movement. And if you look at what he did, the little move he made to create the space while all the defenders were focusing on the ball was pure quality. and opening up for a clear chance that he put away without even blinking. So, yeah, Alexander Isaac is, for me, close to the most complete striker at the moment. We're lucky to have him. And I just can't see him going anywhere.
Ice cold, Alex. It's 19 goals now, Stu, for the Hitman. A wonderful, wonderful strike yesterday. And yeah, he's doing really well, mate.
I checked this morning. He was 7-1 to finish the season as the top scorer. He was one behind Haaland. He's now two behind him. But 7-1, I just thought it's like picking money off the street for the form that he's in. And so I'll give some of my hard-earned to the bookies just for a loan because I'm hoping to get a big chunk of it back in the middle of May. But Isak, for me, I understand how Mitch explained it, that when he's got the taking penalties, he visualises where the ball's going to go. And so it's not a shock. He's taken control. He's taken ownership of his own destiny there. But I don't think he just does it for penalties. He's got that knack that very few footballers have. And you can mention Messi, but if we keep it in with the Premier League, people like Sheridan, people like Beardsley, how they see the game in slow motion, and they can make moves or passes. Where in his instance, he's making moves, they were making passes. And he's got, to me, he's the most natural finisher that I've seen. And bear in mind, I thought Andy Cole took that mantle. Yeah. I think Isak in that team, imagine that it's here as he would have scored 50, 60 goals. The one that the season that Cole got 41. And he's something that for the next 5 years, he's going to be coveted from every team around the world. And long may it continue. We want the best clubs, want our players, because that means we've got the best players. And as long as we do everything we can to keep them happy, as I mentioned earlier, we should be making sure his contract's upgraded. I think we should be making sure that, same with Gordon, and if there is release clauses, make it ridiculous, like Bruno's. It has to be money up front. It's got to be 120, 130 million. I put a tweet out yesterday because, unfortunately, the reason I watch BN Sports is because if I try to watch the Sky Sports over here, it's about 2 minutes behind. So the BN Sports is quite only a few seconds behind. And at the end of the game, we had the Gorilla Gloves and Andy Gray. They had Peter Schmeichel as a guest, and he was talking about Isak, and he says, no, he's going to go to a bigger club. He said he'd be shocked if he was at Newcastle at the start of next season. He needs to go to a bigger club. Now, I know I'm going to surprise you here. Can you guess which club Peter Schmeichel said that he could see him signing for?
Don't say Manchester United.
Yep. Shock, horror. And I actually laughed.
Is he for real?
But that's how serious it was. I nearly spilled my drink, but thankfully disaster was averted, and I took it for what it was. And I thought, Schmeichel, you've just lost any credibility you've got. There's absolutely no way on God's green earth that we would entertain a bid. Look at all what's going on with Ashworth. Why would we entertain a bid for a Man United for him? And I thought, you're just clueless. But then you had the Gorilla Gloves lapping it up. Yeah, I can see him moving. All we've got to do is keep these people happy. And like you say, the next four games, we'll be in Europe. And from a personal, very selfish point of view, we're not in the Champions League, which helps me go to watch the games away, because my traditional work week is Sunday to Thursday still. So I would only have to take a Thursday off work. I could travel on the Wednesday night, go to the game on Thursday, have a Friday, get back Saturday and to work on the Sunday. So I'll be able to go to a lot of the away games, tickets permitting, obviously. And even if there's no ticket available, then I probably would still go to some just for the crack. But imagine Newcastle winning the Conference League or having a really good run in the Europa League, because there's some quality teams in there, as the season's proven. That'll set the city on fire even more than it already is. You know, that taste of success and that first silverware. And there's something that Gordon alluded to in his podcast with Gary Neville, that he'd be a legend for life, and they genuinely would. And if you've got someone like Isak, which was the original question, someone like Isak on form and fit, there's not many teams that are going to be able to stop us once we get these additions in the summer. And I'm so excited about what's coming. And I know we all are since the takeover happened, and that's coming up to about two and a half years now. But look how much we've moved in that 2.5 years. How far can we go in the next 2.5 years? And keeping people like Bruno and Isak, and then you've got Tonali, because Tonali is a quality player. I know he only showed glimpses of it in his fleeting starts for us, but now he's part of the squad. Same as Gordon when he started. People were saying, oh, what a waste of money and everything else. But the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think we've got a squad there that's willing to work harder and know when extra quality comes in, they're going to have to work even harder again. But it'll create a camaraderie that we've already got, but it'll take it to the level where it's camaraderie with better players. And we as supporters should just be sitting back and enjoying it. Ignore who we get linked with. Ignore who gets linked with our players. Because our owners know what they're doing and they want this success as much as us. Maybe for different reasons, but they want Newcastle United, the chairman said it himself, to be number one. And they'll keep going until they get there. And then that's when they'll think, right, now we'll have to keep us there. And the more obstacles that get put in their way, the harder, the more determined they're going to come with it. So when you get people like saying, oh, Isak's going to Man United, please don't take any sense of that. The Bruno Man City, I don't think, has any legs in it either. Possibly a Real Madrid, that would tempt them because they're huge in South America as well. But have they got the money to spend? That's also debatable as well. So for me, we're keeping Isak, we're keeping Bruno, and we're going to get two or three quality players, and we're going to have a fantastic 2024-25 season.
Lots of people had bets on Isak. I hope you all get your money. A big shout out to Martin and Keith in the chat. Martin's off for his tea. A big shout out to Newcastle United Armed Forces Supporters Club. And delighted to say, for 5 minutes, we have been joined by this man, Mick Walk. How are you, Mick?
I'm fine. How are you, mate?
Great, mate. Good to see you, mate. Thanks for coming on. Founder and chair of the organisation, and that's a great photograph, mate, outside Shearer's bar yesterday. Tell us a little bit about it and what was going on yesterday.
Well, the club originally started around about December time, and since then it's just gone into an avalanche of our supporters. We've now moved into over 2,000 supporters across the globe. We're now the largest in the UK. So hopefully that could spread to, you know, globally and take it further. But yesterday we had an official ceremony with the Lord Mayor where, you know, we were officially recognised through the Lord Mayor of Newcastle. And we had Lula and Matt from the Supporters Liaison Office came down just to recognise us. We had service personnel as well in uniform down there for the ceremony, cut another cake. And then we went into Shearer's Bar, where we broke the bar with 250 members at the back of Shearer's.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, you know, to get that kind of membership is amazing. How helpful have the club been? You know, just with, you know, with liaising with you and with helping you put it together. Mitch obviously runs the Dubai Supporters Association. You know, and we're going to be doing a little show with them in the next few weeks just to talk about it. We've spoken to the Icelandic Supporters Association in recent weeks, and Magnus does one of our shows now on a Wednesday night. So there's groups all over the world, all different kinds of supporters groups. It's great to hear, though, you know, that you lads and lasses have got yourselves together as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're very much in our infancy, so we're still on Facebook. We're still finding our feet. You know, we weren't expecting to get this many hits in such a short period of time. So we've initially touched base with, obviously, like I said, with Matt and Tallulah from the Supporters Liaison Office. But that's as far as it's got, to be honest with you. Bit disappointed because we want to go further with them, obviously. I know there's a sort of like a change in direction, I believe, in the new season of how those supporters are managed on official sites and what have you. So There's going to be changes, I believe, in the new season. So we're just waiting out what we can and can't do, get, you know, some of those legalities in place and see what we can do regarding badges and what have you and merchandise moving forward so we can reach out to the rest of our members across the globe.
Yeah, so how can people contact you? Is there a special, you know, do you have to be ex-armed forces to be able to join?
Yeah, we're only on Facebook at the moment, so we're getting a web page set up. Like I said, we were hoping that we could get onto official site with Newcastle United, but, you know, like other clubs have, Man City, Manchester United, Spurs, they've all got armed forces supporters site on their official site. So, but that's something that we're just going to adapt and overcome and move on. And we're looking at that web page. But so we're on Facebook, and you can join us on Newcastle United Armed Forces Supporters Club. Just look us on there. Come in. You have to be or have served with the forces, but we also are accepting our brothers and sisters across the pond and in the NATO services.
Fantastic. That's great stuff. Brilliant stuff. And T-Tank saying, are you on Twitter? I presume you're just on Facebook, so maybe he'll have to reach out to you on there.
Yeah, I'm not the most technical of people, so Twitter's just NUFC Armed Forces Supporters. That's on Twitter. But, we're getting a guy in to overlook our social media and what have you, so... watch this space. It'll grow arms and legs like it already has.
Fantastic. All credit to your mixers, Keith Patterson. Lots of positivity there. Steve Hastie's in the chat. He says, great to catch up with you yesterday as well. Mick, thanks very much. Is there anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to promote?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it was awesome yesterday because we had John Beresford come down as well just to recognise us. He came down. Awesome bloke. Took some time out to go and see the lads, had a pint with him. We're linking through with Launchpad, which is an armed forces charity for homeless people. We're linking now with War Flag, so watch this space for the Remembrance Day display that we're looking at for obviously the Remembrance Day game. And obviously we're hoping that we can get the Armed Forces Covenant put into place with Newcastle United. But also, we're running breakfast clubs. There was a walk on today for our members. We're looking at walking football, you know, for our members just to get out, have that connectivity, making sure that they don't feel that they're isolated or alone, and having that banter that that our forces personnel tend to have. It's a bit of a dark humor, but it's it's a unique piece of humor that we all share together.
Well, it's fantastic. It's great to see, you know, this finally happen. And, you know, as you say, other clubs have got it. So it's about time Newcastle United had it as well. I'm sure I speak for Stu and for Mitch and everybody at NUFC Matters. And we'll just say thank you and for everything you do. Because, you know, without you guys and without you girls, you know, we'd be in a worse place. So thanks for everything you've done. And Mick, if you ever need anything promoting on here, you can always count on NUFC Matters to help you out. So thanks very much for your time, Mick.
Well done, Mick. James.
Thanks very much, Joe. Thanks, Steve. Cheers, Mitch. Take care. Thanks very much, guys.
Bye-bye. Great to have him on, and a lot of heroes, you know, in that organisation, I'm sure. And, you know, I'll repeat it again. We'll thank them for what they've done for us and what they continue to do, because that is one of the hardest jobs in the world. But thanks for that. And afterwards, the government tend not to look after them. So, keep the faith. Support them, and anyone who's ex-services, please go and join them. You heard the details, and if you missed it, if you just tuned in late, you can watch this back afterwards, and you can get all the details from Mick as well.
They'll get there with the club eventually. That's one of the things we're doing with the club at the minute, is to try and have official supporters club status. And sadly, there's a lot of legal things you've got to jump through to do that, and that's why they're experimenting with us, because we're seen in Dubai as one of the more organised sets of supporters. And so get us through the process, and then we've got a framework that other people can use. So it'll come eventually. Brilliant. And again, it shows you how far behind a lot of other clubs actually left with, you know, with things like connections to supporters groups and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, Dougie and Freddie did the same. I mean, I was fans liaison officer at the club. I was the one who tried to get Freddie and Dougie to contact, and, you know, all of the supporters clubs unify them, create something special. They didn't see the benefit in it, and you know, obviously all my hard work just went to pot, and you know, here we are, what, 25-30 years later, and you know, only just starting to do it. So it Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes time, but that's a massive step forward. And there's Swedish supporters club was there yesterday. I know Andre and the lads from Bulgaria were over again under their own steam, paid for their tickets yesterday. But there's we've got a great global fan base, and it's great finally to see everybody, no matter where you're from, you know, what you do or what you've done, you're getting recognised now. And it will take time, but I'm sure the club will get it right. But well done to Mick. Big thanks to Mick for coming on tonight. Okay, a lot of other things to chat about tonight. And Adam West's here, and were you with her? He says, I've seen you were with Archie Gooley yesterday. I was with Archie Gooley. Paul Watson was down yesterday. It was good to see him. He popped in to see Andrew and Gibbo and me yesterday, so it was good to see the guys. Lots of people want to know what you would do in the transfer window. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about it in the summer, but I don't want to ignore the people who have asked the questions. Gary saying, would the panel bring Barkley from Luton as a backup? He would be on a free. For me, no. Definitely not. We're above that now, Gary, I'm afraid. And I'm sure, I think I'm speaking for you lads. We don't need Ross Barkley at Newcastle United.
No. Maybe it's 10 years ago.
Yeah, not now. Not now. It's not even worth debating. So the answer is no. As for goalkeepers, we have talked about goalkeepers quite a bit on the show. Goalkeeper situation, Martin's gone off to have his tea now, but he did say a goalkeeper situation does need addressing in the summer. Dubravka's been poor on some of the goals since coming back in. And he felt that De Gea, was still worth a look at in the summer. Because he's on a free, despite his wages. Adam says, what about Aaron Ramsdale? I think Stu, you'd probably say, yeah, get him in as long as he brings Tierney with him. if he can tap Tierney up when he's here. I would still like a goalkeeper, Mitch. I would still like a goalkeeper in, you know, I know Mark Gillespie, somebody's saying, has Gillespie been given a 12-month extension? I believe he has. But that still doesn't mean that Newcastle wouldn't be in the market to potentially bring in somebody to give Pope a bit of competition with Karius more than likely to depart.
Gillespie's our equivalent of Scott Carson at Man City. He's also well-liked in the dressing room, and he ticks a box for a homegrown player. And we're not going to ever really expect him to do much other than maybe the odd cup game. I think it's quite clear that Karius is moving on. I think, yes, mate, the credit's got to go to Julie, really. When we get to her on, hopefully this week, we'll do a shorter recording. You'll see Julie and you'll see what she's like with that kind of energy and effort. She's the reason the Dubai mags are flying, to be fair. Karius is away. I would quite happily let Dubravka go. We need somebody to come in to give Pope a proper challenge. Who will hopefully push Pope on to improve a little further as well. And I think losing Karius and Dubravka and keeping Gillespie, I don't know what we're like for younger goalkeepers behind Gillespie, but surely it would make sense to lose those two and bring one in who can cover for Pope more effectively and push Pope a bit. And then I see that as a win-win.
Jack Butland's another name getting mentioned, Stu. Thoughts on bringing another keeper in?
It's clear they're going to have to get another keeper, but for me, a lot will depend on how much Pope's recovered from his injury. And is it a full recovery, or is it likely to go again? Because it's the second time it's happened to him, so I think behind the scenes they're going to have to look at it. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought someone in to replace him. But if he is fully fit, remember, he was only number two to Pickford. And we know that he's getting picked not on form, but because he was there. So he was ahead of Ramsdale in the pecking order. So it doesn't make sense for Ramsdale to come in replace Pope, unless Pope is going to be hampered with his injury and not be able to perform at 100%. I like Pope. I think he's an excellent shot stopper. I think the defence are comfortable with him. The only thing he needs to be working on, and I'm sure just about everyone would agree, would be his kicking. And if he's out with his shoulder and he's now getting back into training, he's had plenty of time to practice his kicking because he's not diving about. So it's decisions. Would I replace Pope? No, I think the money would be better off spent elsewhere. Actually, you mentioned Tierney, he's got a groin injury. So there you go. All those who said he gets injured all the time, he's actually got a groin injury. But I think he's just resting for the Euros for Scotland. I think that's what he's doing. But seriously, I think when people ask him who would be signed, I think they've already earmarked the positions. And I think the vast majority of supporters that guess or have their say where positions would they'd like to replace or fill to fill the squad up. You'd be looking at a second keeper, you'd be looking at a left back, you'd be looking at a centre half, you'd be looking at another midfielder, you'd be looking at a right winger, and for sure you'd be looking at a striker. That's at least five. So unless we're going to go and spend over 300 million, we're not going to get five first team starters. And then you've got people like Botman to come back. So to me, the Lloyd Kelly one, Bournemouth, makes sense. Gets him in on a free. And that'll be the first Bournemouth signing that Eddie Howe's made, despite the claims that he always goes to Bournemouth. It'll be the first one he's made. Get him in a free, and that allows us to then have more of the funds spent elsewhere. It's hard with Pope because I think if he is fully fit, he starts next season for us. But for sure, we need a second keeper. We need someone to challenge him because I think Dubravka will be off and we know Karius is leaving.
Do you think we'll see him before the end of the season, Nick Pope? Because a lot of people are saying, why risk him? You know, Dubravka's playing well now. Why risk him for four games?
He's only just getting back into training. So I think by the time, it'd be similar to Joe Linton, similar to Trippier. By the time they get themselves up to full fitness, the season's just about to finish. So unless, I can't say it'd be worth the risk unless they're 100% fit. So we'll know by next week if one or two of them make the bench that there's a chance that they could have game time before the season finishes. But if not, me personally, I'd leave them and do what they've did with Willock and give them longer to get properly fit. And you're not risking a reoccurrence of any injury or a new setback because they're not fully fit. And let's hit next season as hard as we can. We've just got to get over this imaginary line with only three midfielders, with the reserve defence. But what we've got is a lot of hope and a lot of belief in each other. So unless they're ready to play, I wouldn't even consider risking them.
A lot of people are saying Lloyd Kelly's injury record's poor.
He's fitting well then, won't he? He won't be playing all the time, will he? That's the whole idea of it. He won't be playing
he's
all the time.
He's fitting well. Don't forget Baz Dost. Yes, well done.
I'm not saying get him on a free one and play him every game. He'd be there for cover. I'd like to see Alex Murphy get a couple of starts as the season finishes. And I know I seen Keith put in the chat. He predicted 6-1 on Friday. I actually did bet 5-1, and I shared the bet with you, didn't I, in our group.
You did,
I actually did bet 5-1. So when Alex Murphy had the penalty given against him, I thought, you know, this is just my luck. And I said it just like that. No profanities, nothing. I said, goodness gracious to the wife, you can't believe how unfortunate I have been to be so close to a 5-1 victory. But rightly so, it was overturned. And I love the way Bruno went and patted his head as well. That would give him a bit of encouragement. We've seen what he did in glimpses in America. And it's one of these, you'll never know they're good enough unless you give them a try. So hopefully you'll get more minutes if Shaw is injured as the season comes to a close. And then we might not need to look at someone like Lloyd Kelly if he's not popular with people. But for me, he's a very good player. Liverpool are looking at him as well. And he quite clearly will be a squad player. But remember, Botman and Lascelles aren't back until December. But what I've been informed is that Lascelles is, although he was injured later, he's further ahead in the progression to get fit again. So if we're saying it's going to be Christmas before Botman back, we do need cover because you can't just have Kraft and Shaw and Byrne as your three centre-halves because if there's an injury, if there's a suspension, without the kids. So it's important that they do get cover in there.
Yeah, it's funny. I wrote a poem yesterday morning, and I put 5-0 in as a potential win. But I'm not going to read that poem out. I'm going to read Mozza's poem out because Alan and Mozza sent us. Mozza wrote a
fantastic. I've seen it here.
Mozza wrote a poem, so I'm going to share it with everybody. We've got 500 watching, so give it a 1 in the chat if you like it, a 2 in the chat if you don't like it. After many years, one thing I know, players will come, players will go. Some for money, some for fame. It's happened before, it'll happen again. Some we wave a fond goodbye, some we keep on asking why. But go they will, and we will stay, supporting our team in our own special way. The ITKs will tease for clicks, but even those with nice blue ticks don't really know what's going on. Remember, most of the time, they're wrong. So don't let rumours get you down. Just keep supporting the mighty town. When deals are done, that's when we'll know. Until then, rumours, let them go.
Brilliant.
Very good, Mozza. Well done. I'm glad I inspired you to do something. And that's really good. You should keep on doing it. Fantastic. Lots of support in the chat. People have said 3. That must mean it's extra special. Well done, Mozza. Absolutely brilliant. Love that. Some of you in the chat as well be going, why can't I comment? You've got to subscribe. It is free. So if you want to subscribe to the chat, and join everybody in the chat, please just hit the subscribe button. It is free. We do 7 shows a week. And even when I'm away, we always have something on the channel. So please tune in and hit the subscribe button and click share if you can to your social media. It will do us a big favour. Benny asked a question earlier. He said, Mitch, do you think that our fan base gives Eddie Howe enough credit for what he's done and the players he's developed, both in terms of Bruno, Isak and Gordon, and the players we already had? Does he get enough credit for what he's done?
There's been... with this season, a lot of things bandied around, said in the heat of the moment, said in frustration at the situation that we're dealing with, said in frustration with the injury list, with a disastrous 2-month period where we seem to get knocked out of everything and pick up injuries left, right and centre. I think when the dust settles on this season, people will look back and realise what a difficult job he's managed to navigate. That I think many other managers may have crumbled under. And so for me, I don't think he's getting the credit he deserves at the minute. But I think he will once the paint is dry on the picture for the season. I think when everybody looks back with a calmer view and we're getting excited for next season, that's when he might get the credit he probably deserves for handling certain situations very, very well, in my opinion.
Stu?
I think slightly different. I think the normal sane fan appreciates what he's done under the circumstances and are accepting that we went far too far too soon, and there had to be a time where it would level out or plateau or even dip. But again, even through the injuries, he never used it as an excuse. It's only since we started coming out of the injuries, as he referred to the injuries at the time, he was still positive and focused on the players that we've got. So I think the normal fan is praising Eddie Howe and is appreciative of the work that he's done. But we get into social media, like I say, we all use Twitter. And then you see when we beat Tottenham 4-0, he's the best manager in the world. And then the next game we'll go to Crystal Palace and he's shocked and he needs to be sacked instantly. You know, he's knighted one week and, well, I'm not going to swear, then he should be ejected the next week or shot with something the next week. There has to be a happy medium. And I think what we do in here, we try to give a balance to that where you've got to look at the bigger picture and not be so reactionary after one game. You know, we knew we were in the toughest group that's probably ever been in the Champions League for 4 teams. And the testament to that is 2 of them were in the semi-finals. And over 2 legs, we beat one of them comfortably. And we should have beat them home and away. The other team showed they were more savvy than us, But they're both in the semi-finals. That's where this team got with the ones who are being ridiculed, the players that Eddie Howe's got, that you're ridiculing, not you personally, the people that are ridiculing them. And we'll mention the Burns, the Longstaffs, the Miggies, etc. He got that team, that group of players to that level. And I think he's severely underrated. And I think we're very lucky and blessed that he's our manager. And his work ethic is second to none. And I hope he stays our manager for a long, long time, because when we talk about Bruno, it needs to be there to lift the trophy. Eddie Howe needs to be the manager when we do it. And I'm confident both will happen in the next 2 years.
You can sense the respect from the likes of Klopp and Pep for the likes for Eddie Howe speaks volumes. I think you're right. I think we have seen a lot of respect for Eddie Howe. And 3 seasons at the club, you know, give or take a couple of months when obviously the takeover went through. And unbelievable. He has done really well. And whether we get to Europe or not this season, we will. I think now Europe of some shape. With the injuries and that, I just don't think any other manager could have done what Eddie Howe's done this season. But he's remarkable. He's another record he's broken this year. This team has scored more goals than the entertainers in 95-96 and the 96-97 team. And we often used to say they were the best teams in recent years. You know, they scored more goals. Okay, they might have conceded more goals, but last season they broke that record. They didn't concede. They conceded the least amount of goals in the Premier League. So Eddie Howe's breaking records left, right, and centre. The one thing he needs now is to win a trophy, and I think that comes next season. I really do. I think that comes next season. Jules says any UFC matters in this show, especially, is not reactionary. Points are debated with logic and reasoning, not with seeking drama for clicks and likes. That's very kind of you. Thanks very much for that. Jules, Sutty asks this. I did put this in me Twitter post earlier on, saying potentially we could be talking a little bit about sponsorships. We were going backwards and forwards in our WhatsApp group, weren't we, about this? And a suggestion as to what could happen, I guess, Mitch, was what we were talking about. Nothing, not built on anything that we've heard, but just a potential way around maybe things that might happen. What you know, any other potential sponsors, or what was, do you want to share what we were talking about?
I think in terms of potential sponsorships, I think one thing that I'm aware that they're doing are talking with pre-existing sponsors about, well, do you want to get more involved? Do you want to sort of up your involvement? Do you want to go from this to that? So we know we've had two or three existing sponsors in recently for discussions about upgrading the sponsorship, for want of a better word. I know we're going to be filming quite a few things in the next few weeks. I understand we've got players involved with filming for some some adverts for them. Now they're already a travel partner. Who's to say that this isn't part of saying to them, well, let's get you involved in a bigger way, and can we upgrade your sponsorship? Do you want to come onto a training shirt, or do you want to do this, or do you want to do that? But certainly there's something happening there with Saudi, because the players are scheduled to do some filming and tied in with filming. Something else we might want to touch on are the new kits. There's definitely going to be players filming in the next few weeks in various, I understand, iconic locations across Tyneside and into Northumberland, not just with players in the kits, but with former Newcastle players with Adidas connections or former Adidas Newcastle players. And I'll take it a step further, and I haven't tapped Jamie up yet, but Jamie, if you're watching, expect a few WhatsApps soon. It wouldn't surprise me to see Sam Fender involved with it as well, because they had him involved with the campaign when they did the mural right at the start of the opening of the relationship with Adidas, and opening all sorts of doors potentially. Those three kit choices, by the way, apparently one of the things that led Adidas to go down the lanes was the three kits that they're stylistically related to were three of their best ever sellers when they were with Newcastle United previously, apparently. So there's certainly stuff going on at the minute regarding sponsors, and take an existing sponsorship and upgrade. But that then leaves, actually, if we do that with existing sponsors, one, they've already been vetted by the Premier League, so that's one hoop they don't have to jump through. And two, it means we've got below that level more opportunities to bring more people in at perhaps a lower level. Maybe it's people who want to get involved, but they don't necessarily have the money to take up the packages further up the tree. And that might open up a few more local business associations as well. So I think we're definitely being clever in regards to how we're doing it. The trick is these things just don't happen overnight. But equally, why wooing current sponsors to get more backing out of them makes sense to me is that it can happen quicker because there's not the vetting process to happen. It's already been done. Everything will go through on the nod. Happy days.
Thoughts on the sponsorship, Stu?
Well, I do have some inside information. You know, when they did for the RNID a couple of weeks ago for the Tottenham game, there's a Dubai-based charity, pet charity, that save the budgie, don't smother the budgie with socks. Company that's going to start sponsoring Newcastle about being cruel to budgerigars. Did you get that, Mitch?
I'm not cruel to any animal, in particular if you want.
No, but we're talking about the sponsors and thinking outside the box, but we're in the same group talking about things and Seller can expand. But we've got owners, although on the board sits Jamie Rubin. We all know it's his dad's and uncle's money. And they're one of the wealthiest families in the country and they make the money from building, buying land and developing it and building it. Why can't they buy the stack? It's a separate company. Why couldn't they buy the stack, buy the land there? And when we move ground, hopefully just a little further north in Leasers Park, they've got some real estate there that they can develop and sell. So there's so many ways. We have a very focused and savvy board and they will employ the right people to do the right things. I am quite more relaxed about it now. I was a bit angry earlier in the year, at the start of the year, actually, with the statement that Darren Eales made, because it's created issues that didn't need to be created. It started people panicking when there was no need to panic. And I understand the statement was to temper expectations, and it might have been a bit of gamesmanship with, look, if we can't spend money, how can someone else spend money? So a lot of smoke and mirrors with that, but there's so much more that can be sponsored. Saudi, for sure, will be putting more money into the club. But I know Mitch, myself, and Steve Hasty over the last 2 or 3 years, even before the takeover happened, were talking about if and when it did happen, it would be a case of the airport would need to be expanded. But they'll then encounter the same situations where you have the Friends of Leasers, you know, that rat-infested park, and it is full of rats. And it's the NIMBYs that we've talked about, but sometimes progress has to happen. Otherwise, you know, I've got to be very careful without insulting certain groups or factions. The vast majority of people in Tyneside want a successful Newcastle United. And if it means that the airport gets bigger, it creates more jobs, more people will benefit from it. If the stack gets sold and the club gets moved and they'll create something there, whether that be a hotel or two hotels, maybe Chelsea might buy two hotels if they build them, but it could be a hotel, could be office buildings or whatever, that creates more jobs, which makes Newcastle more attractive. It's investment, not just in the football team, it's in the city, it's in the conurbation, it's in the region. And really, this progress needs to be happening sooner rather than later. And I think they're waiting just to press the button and they'll get the green light. But regarding sponsors, we all know there's a big gaping gap on training grounds, on the training gear as well. There's a stadium. I don't think there'd be many fans now that would complain if the stadium got sponsored. We all know it's St. James Park. We all know it. But, and I keep using Aramco because that's the easiest one. But Aramco at St. James Park, would that really bother anyone if it gave us £40 million extra a year?
Of course not.
I wouldn't have thought so. So there's so many things that they can do with it, but they are towing the party line. But the shackles will come off, and when they do, we will be untouchable. And I think they're starting to push to that now. And tomorrow's, as I just about to mention, this anchoring thing tomorrow, if that gets pushed through, we'll see a different Newcastle United in the next couple of months.
Yeah, well, we went to the park last year, Stu. You're right about rats. Sunday afternoon, family having picnics and rats running around, says Mozart. Yeah, it is.
That a poem?
Yeah, it's a poem. It is. I might write one about rats running around Leeds Park tomorrow, unless Mozart beats us to it.
That's true. No, they do. There's loads of them. I've got loads of pals that tell us, why are people trying to protect that? You've got to look at the bigger picture, and that could create a super stadium. I hate this Wembley of the North. Wembley's the South. We create a magnificent stadium for Newcastle United that we can all be proud of. And then what happens with the other land? Where St. James is now, create a nice park, a beautiful park there. Mitch and Steve Hastie were with us in Riyadh not so long ago, and you've seen what they've done with Wasteland, with the boulevard there. It's amazing what can be done with just a bit of imagination and a bit of license to trust people and say, we've got your back, we want to do the best for your people. That can be done. Then the stack becomes commercial real estate, and I can't see why the Rubens wouldn't want to buy it.
Lots of people talking about budgies. We'll finish off with this. My budgie broke his leg today, so I patched him up as best I could with a Swan Vesta matchstick. His little face lit up, along with the rest of him. I'd forgotten I'd lined his cage with sandpaper this morning. Rest in peace, Sparky. good show, lads. Blowing over. Mitch, Stu, thanks a lot. Thanks to all the mods. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Don't forget, if you haven't subscribed, please do. We are 68 away from hitting the 52,000 mark, which is quite incredible. some monkey suits giving us an idea for the title of the poem, Rats are Twats Around Leeds Park by Steve Raven. All right, thanks everybody. Back 6 o'clock tomorrow with the Fans Forum. Take care. Have a good evening, whatever you choose to do. See you, lads.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks.